Thank you, Scott. It's never a bad time to pray for somebody. So thank you for bringing that up. I don't know if Dylan's are watching this morning or not, but as we were sitting here talking about Dylan's and praying for him, just went through my mind, so I think I'm going to have everybody do it. Those of you that will commit to praying for Dylan's this week while they're up there, would you all raise your hands and hold them up for a little bit? Thank you. If they are watching, that I just think that'll be a good encouragement for them. And if they weren't watching, if they're like me, they at least go back. It's like the times that I miss it, I like to go back and at least listen to the sharing time. And most of the times, I enjoyed listening to the whole thing. It's just interesting to hear what has happened and what was talked about. And so I know the one week that I wasn't here, I kept trying to pull it up my phone. I said, well, must be me. I don't know how to use this thing right. And then I found out James was gone and we didn't have it recorded that morning. And I missed it. Missed being, even if I wasn't here, it's enjoyable to be a part of the group here. And so look forward to that. This week we can tell Dylan, go on, look and see the support throughout the week of everyone here backing him up. So thank you for that as you support him this week. Thank you, Tristan, for your devotions this morning. So I was sitting down there studying this morning, and he comes down, and he's sitting there studying, and he's on the couch, I'm in the love seat, we're doing our thing, and this is always a dangerous thing to ask what they're going to talk about. It's like I don't really want to know. I want to just God to lead me how he wants me to talk, and then it finally got the best of me. I don't know, it's probably 6:30 or something like this. What are you talking about? And he said, about being fishers of men or speaking out. And anyhow, it was a little bit of a sigh of relief. I was like, well, it didn't get too bad into mine. But as he talked this morning, it actually went right along with what I'm going to talk about this morning as well. And if you can turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 9, I'm going to read verse 23 to 27. And but as he talked this morning, and I'll go back into that just a little bit, I'll go get started, then we'll go back into that, because it's one of the things that leads right into what I'm going to talk about. 1 Corinthians 9, 23 to 27. This is Paul speaking, and he said, verse 24. He said, "Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I disciple my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others I myself should be disqualified." So when I was thinking about running a race, I'm thinking about, to me, I don't run a race. I go backwards, just about. But I thought of Carlene. I think she enjoys running. And I thought of Gina. I know there for a while, she was practicing. Alyssa, I know, was as well, because she was looking at running with a couple of the, like Carter and Logan, they were talking about running along. And it looks like a lot of work to me. Then I was thinking about a race, and well, it's not just running a race. There's all kinds of races. I think of Scott. I mean, I think he'd probably get into a pretty good race. Get a car that runs pretty good. There's all different types of races. In order to run a race or to be in a race, what is one of the first things, one of the things that you have to do? There's a couple of them, but play by the rules, okay? Prepare, okay? What's another thing you got to do to get in a race? Prepare. Qualify, okay? Have to enroll in the race. You can't just, if you're gonna run a race, you can't just jump over the fence and decide to run, can you? Or if you're gonna compete somewhere, you have to enroll in that race. Christian race is the same way. We must be enrolled in the race, and that's what Tristan was talking about this morning, telling others about Christ. They have to enroll in that race. From what I read online, and I don't know, so if this isn't right, online's good for everything, so Carlene or somebody, you'll have to wave your hand and say, wait, that's wrong here. But from what I understand, in running in a race, they give you a number that you have to wear, and that number has to be displayed at all times. And the race Paul is talking about here is called the Christian life. We must also be enrolled. Matthew 7, 21 to 23 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, or in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" And John 10, verse 7 to 10 says, "Therefore Jesus said again, 'Verily, truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture." Christian life is the same way. We have to enroll. We have to enroll in that race. The next one I have is building up for the race. School children, field day is coming up. Do you wait for field day and then say, "Okay, I'm going to go run a half mile, or I'm going to do the high jump, see how well I can do"? I know for my boys, at least the one year, I didn't see it as much this year, but the one year, the high jump, they came home. I mean, they did the work. They built one. They took 2x4s, buried them in the ground, put markings on it, and they had a PVC pipe that they put across it, and they would jump for hours, I think, in the yard. But they were trying to get that top spot. A lot of practice went into it. Same way on running a race. You don't just one day decide, "I'm going to run a race," and go out and try to run a marathon. You'll never make it. The average Olympian, this is according to online again, but the average Olympian trains 4 hours a day, 310 days a year, and for 6 years before succeeding. This translates more than 7,000 hours of training for an event that may last 60 seconds. This kind of training is not just for athletes. It's required for playing an instrument. Logan's been taking guitar lessons, and he keeps getting better and better. But it takes a lot of practice. It's also for learning a new language. If you decide you were going to talk in a different language, it takes a lot of practice and a lot of work. In fact, it's mandatory for just about any significant challenge in life, including becoming a spiritual champion. Scott, I thought of you this week. I was delivering a shed to someone, and he was talking about his car and how he had done all kinds of stuff to it, and he was telling me all the stuff he put into it, and I thought of Scott. I said, "Boy, now you'd enjoy this one." We got in the truck and we left, and Kendall goes, "I don't have a clue half the stuff that he said on that thing." And I said, "Well, be honest with you, I don't either." He didn't just get that knowledge, and he just didn't get that just for free. It took a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of learning. He was actually a mechanic for the military, and so he learned a lot of this, but that was a lot of hard training. If we were to compete, it would take practice, a lot of practice, to be competitive. In the races we run as a Christian, it doesn't just happen. It takes effort. It takes discipline. The most important principle for running in a race to be a spiritual champion is not of trying harder, but to train wisely. 1 Timothy 4, 7-8 says, "Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales, Rather, train yourself to be godly, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Again, in Corinthians 9:25, Paul says, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to gain a crown that will not last, but we do it to gain a crown that will last forever. If you wanted to compete in a triathlon, simply deciding to try harder would not make you capable of winning. If I want to win a triathlon, then I must train for one. Paul said here in verse 25, we discipline ourselves to win a crown that doesn't perish. To do that, we arrange our life around disciplines that help us become more like that life, more like a life that Jesus taught and modeled for us. Six things that are important in a spiritual race and training. The first one is prayer. How often do I talk to God? The second one is Bible study. Do I engage in Bible reading and devotion? The third one is worship. Are you praising the Father in regular times of worship? Number four is service. How are you using your gifts to serve God and His people? The fifth one is evangelism. Have you spoken to someone recently regarding their relationship with God? So don't be afraid. As Tristan talked this morning. Number six is stewardship. Are you investing regularly and consistently in God's church with your time and talents and financial resources? The secret to winning a race is to order our lives around practices and disciplines in the same way in the Christian race that we order our lives around practices and disciplines that Christ modeled. We do this to accomplish through training what we cannot do by trying. Running the race. Paul said again in 1 Corinthians 9:26, he runs as not one as beating the air. Whenever I read this, in some translations it talks about he boxes as he hits the spot where he was boxing for. I used to always read this verse, and it talks about one as not beating the air. They used to laugh at me at school because when I ran, and I guess I do this, I talk and everything, and I do this, my arms are always moving. And they used to laugh at me. They were like wondering if I was running with my hands or if I was running with my feet. And then when I went to Puerto Rico, well, that's the way they talk. Their arms are always moving. So they said I fit pretty good over there. But he said he runs as not one beating the air, or he places his boxes or his blows well. We have to run our own race. I can't run your race for you. You can't run mine. In a marathon, you can't help someone else or you may be disqualified. While you can have encouragement and supporters along the way, you have to run it yourself. In the Christian race, we have to run our own race. You have supporters along the way. But you have to run your own. We race not against other components, but against ourselves. Am I more like Jesus today than I was yesterday? There is an internal struggle of the soul. We are naturally bent towards laziness and sin. Are we engaged in the necessary activities and disciplines that enable us to grow and mature and become more like Christ? This race is different for everyone. Like a race, God has marked out the route and the end goal to become like Christ. The journey is the same to get there. He marked out the goal and the route for everyone the same. The journey is a little different for everyone to get there. We can't compare our track to someone else. While this race we run is much like a marathon in the fact that there are no breaks, no timeouts, we are instructed to keep running. And yet, on the other hand, this race is like a steeplechase where we have obstacles, barriers, and hazards of all different shapes and sizes that can't be avoided. Winning the race requires great endurance.
Hebrews 12, 1-3 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Romans 5:3-4, "Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope." Endurance doesn't just change the end result. Doesn't just change the end result we are working toward. It changes who we are in a good way. James 1, 2-4 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may mature and complete, not lacking anything." Perseverance changes your character. It's not just about crossing the finish line, but who you are when you get there. Romans 15:4, "For everything that is written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope." There are story after story in the Bible of those who have faced impossible, difficult situations, yet they move forward in faith. These are given to provide courage and hope to us today. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trials, because having stood that test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." Every accomplishment that you receive in life comes from perseverance. When you learned to walk, when you graduated, you lost weight, you ran a 5K, and many other things, just about anything that you can think of in life, it didn't come easily. Perseverance is a skill that takes discipline. Psalm 37:23-24, "The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand." Martin Luther King Jr. said this, "If you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you have to do, just keep moving forward." In the movie Chariots of Fire, and I've never watched this movie, so I don't know for sure what the movie is. I do want to watch it. It sounds really good. It's an old movie. But in 1924, there was a man from Scotland. His name was Eric Little. And he was training for the Olympics. And he was running in a meet, in a 440-yard meet. And when it took off, the gates opened, and there was a lot of shoving trying to get to the lane, and he was tripped along with another man. And he went down, and he sat there stunned for a little bit. When he heard the official scream, "Get up and run!" So he jumped up, and he started to run. And he took off after the pack, and when he was 20 yards out, He was gaining, and he kept gaining little by little. And just as they came to the line to cross, he stuck his chest out, and he won by just a little bit. He was so exhausted, the medical personnel had to assist him off the track that day. The article appearing the next day in the Scotsman newspaper said, "The circumstances in which Little won the race made it a performance bordering on the miraculous. Veterans whose memories take them back 35 years and in some case longer in the history of athletics were unanimous in the opinion that Little's win in the quarter mile was the greatest track performance they had ever seen." If you fall down, get up and run. This Little went on to be a missionary. He actually gave up his spot in the Olympics because
the run that he was training for was run on a Sunday, and he said he wouldn't run on a Sunday, so he gave up the spot. He didn't actually win the Olympics. But he went on to be a missionary, and he created quite a stir in the whole Olympics thing, because they're like, who would lose this chance? And he stood a very high chance of winning in the Olympics, and he gave it up for his faith. He created a great stir in that, and then he went on to be a missionary, reaching out to others. D.H. Grobert said in his poem, This race describes a boy who ran, falling many times. To his dad, he sadly said, I didn't do too well. To his dad, he sadly said, I didn't do too well. To me, you won, his father said. You rose each time you fell. Spiritual race that we are running takes persistence, takes endurance. If we fall, get up, keep running. Colossians 1, 9-12 says, For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. This was Paul praying for the Colossian church. And I thought of that this morning as we pray for others. We can stand behind others as they run their race. Paul reminded Timothy, if we endure, we win the prize. 2 Timothy 2:12 says, if we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. We must persevere and not shrink back or give up. Hebrews 10:36-39 says, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back, but we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Several weeks ago, I guess it was, I was to a memorial that they held for someone that had passed away. And as I sat there at the memorial and listened to it, it was supposed to be like that weekend that I was supposed to preach, and this is some of that. But as I listened there to the memorial, as they talked about him, there was a lot of things that this man had learned to do. And as the people had found out, even after he had passed away, they found out of things that he had accomplished in this world that they didn't even know about. But there was one thing that kept coming up as they talked about him, and that was his love for God and his desire to share that with others. All of them would say that somewhere along the line, as they met him, he was very stable and he was very quick to let them know who his father was and where he stood in life. So I was thinking, how is it for me? How is it for you when you're gone? What do they remember you by? A few weeks ago, it could have been me. As that accident happened, and I made it up the lane right after it happened, I know as I put my hand under my arm and I heard the blood, I didn't know if I'd make it to the hospital. What people had to say about me? What would I had left? Did I run that race well? What about you? Are you running that race well? As I sat there at that memorial, I wondered, when we get to heaven, you know, as they talked about, this is how he shared with this person, this is how he shared with this person, I just said, well, I wonder if that'll be how it is someday in heaven, that we'll get to hear how this person and how that person found out about the Savior. And did I open my mouth? I don't know how it will be in heaven.
Paul writes in Philippians 4:12-13, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. We can run that race because God will give us strength. Again, I want to just read the quote of Martin Luther King Jr. If you can't fly, run. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, keep moving forward. So we go through life and run this race, keep moving. If you fall down, get up and start running. May God bless you as you move forward in your race this week. If you want, Brian, do you have a song? 410 Faith and Praise. All right, 410 in the Faith and Praise. You can stand. All right, let's pray. God, we thank you this morning for your love to us. And God, we thank you that as we run this race of life, that you will give us strength, that we can depend on you. You will give us strength in whatever obstacle that we will face in life. God, I pray that you would help us to run strong and to reach out to others. God, today, I just pray that you would be with Dylan and Renee as they start their week there. God, I pray that you would give them strength this week in that part of their race as well. And God, I just pray for each one here today as they go home and as they face this week. God, I just pray that you would strengthen each one. If there anyone that's going through a hard time, God, I pray that you would that they would feel your presence, and those that are having good and victorious and easy times, God, I just pray that you would bless them and give them an enjoyable week. And God, I just pray that you would direct each one of our steps as we go from here. In Jesus' name, amen.